Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Rebecca Watson of Skeptic.org, and you are listening to Flopcast, the floppiest podcast on the internet.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 275.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi there, Kevin.
Well, how you doing?
I'm feeling that feeling I get at this time of year.
What feeling is that?
Summer's gone by way too fast.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's not like I enjoy the miserable heat or anything, but it's nice also to not be freezing. Plus, I do like me some swimming.
Yes, we still have plenty of summer to go. Don't you worry.
Okay.
As our agonizing review of High Feather reminds us, summer lasts a long, long time.
Yeah, High Feather really is putting that in perspective.
I had a feeling it would make the summer last forever, and I think I was right.
You were right on about that. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I've just been hiding inside all the time. That's my strategy for the summer.
Perfect.
Yes.
The best plan there is.
That's how you beat the summer heat. See, I'm all pasty white.
Whereas I am sporting a tan, but I'm also sporting about a gazillion bug bites.
You're looking tan and bitten. That is true. Well, I'm maintaining a complexion that scientists call fish belly. Thank you. Say, Cornflake, what do you have this week for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
August 18th is National Badge Ribbon Day.
Badge Ribbon Day.
Badge Ribbon Day is August 18th.
That's weird.
Badge ribbons have been a lot around for a long time.
Sure.
But not in stackable form.
Yes.
Evidently, the invention of the stackable badge ribbon. I looked into this because I was just fascinated that this was a day. The stackable badge ribbon, where you could just make them into a scarf,
right,
which we like to do at conventions, didn't come around until 1991, when somebody said, well, if you're going to wear more than one ribbon, you should be able to see them
just
all.
Just line them up. For anyone listening who's not a convention attendee, and not even all conventions have badge ribbons, but as you go to a convention, especially the kind of nerd geek conventions that we go to, comic shows and science fiction shows, people make little badge ribbons, and then you can stick your ribbon to your badge, then stick your next ribbon to that ribbon, make a long trail of them, and people make weird, silly ribbons that say weird, silly things. And yeah, we make Flopcast ribbons every year now. And when we go to a convention where people care about ribbons, because at some conventions, they don't want them. But MarsCon, they're big at. Convergence, badge ribbons are a big thing. Aresia, they're big at here in Boston. Do you remember our first Flopcast badge ribbon?
It was red.
It was red, and it said,
you love the Flopcast.
That is correct. It said, you love the Flopcast. We were forcing people to love our stupid podcast just by wearing a ribbon. Then last year, our second badge ribbons, last year's say, the Flopcast, it's not just for chickens anymore.
That's right, and there's a chicken on it.
There were chickens on the ribbon, yes. And then, of course, this year it says, stop texting, start turksting with a turkey.
And they're blue, which is my favorite color.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this year's badge ribbons.
What color should next year's ribbon be?
Orange.
That would be a bold move.
Yeah.
All right, we'll consider it.
I think it should be. That would be attention-grabbing, wouldn't it?
But for now, we've got the blue Turksting ribbons. I'll be bringing them to Dragon Con. We are just a few weeks away from Dragon Con now. We're getting frighteningly close to Dragon Con. And we'll be doing our official Dragon Con preview show maybe next week,
okay,
I think. But Let me assure you, people, we are working on Dragon Con right now. I've been heavily involved in behind-the-scenes preparations for panels and events and all kinds of wacky stuff that will be happening.
For months now.
Oh, yeah. All year, yeah. Essentially. But especially now as we get closer, it's been like every day we've been working on Dragon Con stuff. Preparing for the biggest nerd fest of the year. And I will definitely be bringing Flopcast badge ribbons to Dragon Con.
Makes me wish more people wore badges. Just in general. In life.
Just walk around wearing a badge wherever you go.
Right.
Just so someone might hand you a ribbon.
I really want a high feather badge ribbon.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll have to make those.
It could say, I'm in high feather.
I'll consider that for next year's badge ribbons. Boy, that would be even more confusing than this year's Turkst ribbons. All right, Cornflick, we are going to get to High Feather Episode 9 in just a few minutes. But you know what? We went into the Pudding Pages last week. 90s version. Mm-hmm. It's been so long since we did Pudding Pages. Let's go back-to-back episodes of Pudding Pages. I don't know if we've ever done that before.
No, we've not done that.
I don't think
that's,
so.
That's crazy, Kevin.
Let's go back to the Pudding Pages for the second week in a row.
Whew.
But to mix it up, let's go back to Pudding Pages Classic.
Okay. I can see how that 90s one would make you jones
oh,
for
yeah.
the classic.
Last week we got stuck talking about Newsies because we opened up the 90s book to a random page and we were forced to talk about Newsies. Now we're going back to the original book, Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops. This is a book of alphabetical listing of a bunch of wacky stuff from the 70s and 80s. We will turn to a random page in this book. We will discuss whatever is on that page. Now we just have to fire up the supercomputer.
And in case you're wondering, dear listeners, yes, we will discuss whatever's on that page, whether we know a thing or two about it or not.
By law, we must discuss whatever is on the page. This was a supercomputer that Cornflake stole from NASA down in Florida 8 years ago. There's still a huge investigation underway.
Really wish you'd stop bringing up my past like this. Look, we've moved on.
Someday we're both going to be locked up when they're going to get on to us, I think. Because I'm an accomplice at this point, I'll admit.
It's true.
You know, I'm not innocent in this.
We're all
going down together.
Almost feel like I should apologize.
Well, because look at all the fun we've had.
It's true.
It'll be worth it. When we're doing...
Rotting in jail.
When they put us away for good. At least we opened up that pudding book a few times.
It's true.
Thanks. All right, so let's wait. The computer is fully fired up and functional, and it will now generate a random number for us. Cornflick, we are going to turn to page 148.
I mean, don't act like we could generate a random number without the supercomputer.
There's no way to do it without a computer such as this.
Right, this segment of our show would be absolutely shot.
148 is the second page of a two-page entry, so I'm going to turn back to 147.
Okay. Right.
Well, this is interesting.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, by our standards.
Okay.
Well, the book is called Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops.
Uh-huh.
Our segment is called The Pudding Pages. We have landed on Pudding Pops.
Oh, okay.
This is the title track of the book, essentially.
I guess it was bound to happen. It would be awkward to have a Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops book without any explanation as to whatever happened to Pudding Pops. So
they do indeed have an entry about Pudding Pops.
And we've answered a question that listeners have been wondering for a very, very long time.
Scientists have never been able to determine if Pudding Pops were listed in the Pudding book. And now we can say, yes, Pudding Pops are indeed in the Pudding Pop book.
So a national whatever day about badge ribbons, which are pertinent to us, and then Pudding Pops.
Yeah, the whole show is just folding in upon itself.
The stars are just aligning.
This might be the end of everything.
Is High Feather going to be about us, too?
Probably.
Hmm.
All right, let's learn about Pudding Pops. What do you remember about Pudding Pops?
Liking them.
Did you like them?
I did, especially the chocolate and vanilla blend ones. I remember them being chocolate, vanilla, or chocolate and vanilla swirl. I liked the ones that were mixed. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm looking at the entry right now. It does refer to chocolate, vanilla, or choco vanilla swirl.
Yeah, I didn't care much for what they called it. I just liked it.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. You remembered. There was a... See, I barely remember these things. I must have had one at some point. So were they frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
So they were like fudgicles.
Yeah. And those predate Pudding Pops. They were around...
Yes.
Way earlier.
That's true.
And that was good stuff. I think I would rather have a fudgicle.
I remember trying to make pudding pops because we thought, oh, how hard could it be? You just make some pudding and freeze
you
it.
You made your own pudding pop?
Yeah.
Did it work?
No.
No. Because there must be all kinds of weird chemical agents that allow it to freeze
to soften
and be
nicely.
At the right consistency.
Yeah, our failure was repeated numerous times in trying to make pudding pops at home before
we did the whole house blow up? It was like a laboratory disaster.
I actually have a really weird memory of pudding pops. So, kind of scary moment in the history of Cornflake. Our house got broken into.
Ooh.
And not much was stolen.
Just the pudding pops.
The pudding pops were stolen.
Seriously?
Yep.
Why was this not the first thing you told me, like, the day we met? That's astonishing. Someone broke into your house.
They broke into the house. They did some damage to our windows, and they stole the pudding pops. we looked around the house. They didn't steal the jewelry. They didn't steal the television. But we looked in the freezer, and the pudding pops were gone.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. All right, here's a hypothesis. What if someone in your household ate all the pudding pops and then smashed the window to cover up? Must have been a break-in. Some burglar must have taken all the pudding pops. Could that be what happened?
I'd like to think so, Kevin.
I mean, that makes more sense to me than an actual intruder.
Consider that it was possibly neighborhood kids that broke into the house. Because there were some hooligan neighbor kids.
Yeah, it clearly wasn't like a international jewel thief.
No.
Cat burglar.
Just a hungry teen.
Dropping down on a line like Tom Cruise out of the ceiling. This was not like a fancy, perfect crime. It was some creep in the neighborhood.
Yep. Bunch of creepy kids.
That is amazing.
So this is one of my early memories as a young Cornflake was coming home to discover the house was broken into and the pudding pops were gone. You know, Kevin, I didn't think they were that good, honestly. This is
not good enough to turn to a life of crime over. That is astonishing.
I'm sorry, my life is so weird. And needless to say, we knew that we were in a rougher town than we had originally suspected, and we beat feet and we moved right out of there.
Right.
And never again, never since, have our pudding pops been stolen. Because I think you could still get them at the store.
Yeah, you want to go to a nice, friendly neighborhood where you can just leave your pudding pops right out in the front yard and you know they're going to be safe.
Exactly.
All right, I'm officially freaked out.
Sorry.
I've closed the book.
I think that's for the best.
Well, also, interestingly, you just answered the question.
Whatever
happened to pudding pops? Yeah.
By some ruffian kids.
Yes, we have the answer. We were robbed.
What is there any reason now to listen to the Flopcast anymore for?
All your questions have been answered.
I guess this is how the Flopcast ends?
We have one more thing to do.
Oh, right.
And that is, Hi Feather. This would be the penultimate episode of Hi Feather. We're up to Hi Feather, episode 9 out of 10.
Not going to lie to you, I'm kind of sad about this.
We're coming right down to the wire now.
I want there to be more Hi Feather, and there isn't.
All right, for new listeners, sadly, we've been doing a Hi Feather watch-along all summer long, where Hi Feather is this goofy old show from 1980, educational series about children at a summer camp learning about health and nutrition, and we're obsessed with it. We've been watching one episode every week all summer. Today, episode 9, if you want to watch along with us, which you don't have to do, you can just listen to us giggle about it, and that's fine. If you want to be fully informed going into this conversation, what you want to do, pause the podcast right now, jump on the old internet, go to our Flopcast YouTube page, and we've got links on flopcast.net, we've got links on our Facebook page. Go to the Flopcast YouTube page. We have a Hi Feather playlist all set up for you there. Watch episode 9, and we'll meet you right back here. All right, welcome back to our high-feathered friends, and this is Hi Feather episode 9, Saved from the Pound. Now, we have to point out right away what we suspect, as we discussed last week, is that episode 9 was originally intended to be episode 8, and these episodes got switched.
They got flopped.
Somewhere along the line. They were flopped, because there's a reference in episode 8 to remember that time we had to take care of the dog, and that doesn't actually happen until episode 9. The other evidence that they switched these episodes around is that Leslie is not in episode 9.
I didn't notice her absence this time. It's almost like I've become numb to it.
I've just shut it out of my mind because it's so upsetting to me. I can't even think about Leslie not being there. But Leslie's the little dancer girl in the group, and a few episodes ago was like her feature episode, which involved her being off-site for like half the episode at the dance audition. So we suspect they shot a couple of episodes without Leslie because of her being off-site for that episode. So that's why we have no Leslie here. Anyway, the episode begins with Leo is playing tennis, and there's a little slob kid named Eddie who idolizes Leo and is watching Leo play. And this kid is just a mess. He's covered in chocolate.
Yep.
It looks like he put a pudding pop just on his head and just let it melt in the sun.
It kind of does. I thought he'd been playing in the mud and got it around his mouth somehow. I didn't immediately realize it was chocolate.
It's chocolate. Yeah, Eddie is just completely covered in chocolate. He's disgusting. Yeah. He's watching Leo play tennis. He's obsessed with Leo. All right. Meanwhile, Sharon, one of the counselors, is on an overnight hike with some of the kids. She's out with Domingo, Kathy, Ann, and Stan. Domingo and Kathy, during the hike, they wander onto a dirt road where they see a car that is stopped, and there's a guy throwing a bag out of his car into the woods.
And he is one sinister, shady dude.
This is the creepiest looking guy in history. This might have been the guy that stole your pudding pups.
Quite possibly.
This guy, he's dressed like Ed Grimley, I noticed.
Yes, he is.
Like the brown pants and the yellow checkered shirt. He's in an Ed Grimley costume.
And he's got his hair slicked.
He's like a creepy, heavy-set Ed Grimley with big sideburns. He's got a cigarette going.
And a sneer on his face.
Horrifying guy. He throws a bag out of his car. The kids run up and open the bag. There's a dog in the bag.
Right.
This guy was throwing out a dog, a live dog.
Right.
So now the kids have a dog to secretly take care of because they don't want Sharon to find out they have a dog.
Never mind that the guy's got the easiest license plate to remember in the history of license plates, and they could have reported him.
Well, oh, yeah, the plate...
It was like UE50.
The plate looked weird. I wonder if they were covering up parts of the plate the way they cover up product names
That's
on the show
true.
Sometimes. Yeah, because I looked at the license plate, too, because I was ready to report the guy. I was with you.
I would have.
Yeah. I was going to call the Peekskill police and report a crime from 1979.
Maybe a cold case.
Open up your cold case files, boys. I've got a full description. We're looking for creepy Ed Grimley. All right, so now it's nighttime. They're still out camping. Sharon is telling a really lame ghost story.
Still scared me.
Did it? And meanwhile, the kids are collecting food from their dinners to secretly feed to the dog. Now, they show them sleeping. They've got no tents. Did you notice? They're just
sleeping on the
ground in the open. They're going to be eaten by bears. Because Sharon was already warning them to put all your food up in bags up in the trees so right. bears don't eat them. Well, they're not up in the trees in bags. They're just laid out like a buffet for the bears. I mean, not that a tent is going to stop an angry bear, I suppose.
Good point.
They're doomed either way.
Don't camp out, people.
No,
just stay in
the house. They never go outside.
Right.
It's the lesson of High Feather, I believe.
Yes.
All right, so now they sneak the dog back into camp. Back at the camp, meanwhile, Leo is still on the tennis court. This is the next day, I assume.
Yeah, he never left.
Leo and the little chocolate boy, Eddie, play a doubles match against a couple of really creepy kids. One of them's named Huey, like the lead creepy kid.
Yeah.
They lose. Leo and Eddie lose to Huey. Because Eddie didn't eat any breakfast, and so he has no energy. And man, this was a lesson that I feel was driven home so much. In the 70s and 80s, with all the PSAs and all the educational shows, I feel like they were investing about 85% of my time. All I was hearing was
eat breakfast.
That's breakfast. All they cared about. Man, they were obsessed with breakfast back then.
Just a little.
All right, so Eddie, meanwhile, this little kid, Eddie, hates to eat. He doesn't eat any food. He hides all his real dinner. And he eats a jelly sandwich.
Yes. And he gets made fun of for it.
I'm surprised they have any jelly left because we've established the kids like to fill each other's beds with jelly as a prank.
That's true.
Eddie's got a jelly sandwich so he can bring all the rest of the food to the dog. The kids have to admit that they have a dog. They tell Sharon. They name it Scruffy.
Which is appropriate.
Sure, because look at it. It's a sorry looking dog. They go to the vet. The vet tells them you've got to get like real dog food for this dog.
Right.
Don't feed it jelly sandwiches. The kids are allowed to take care of the dog now while the vet is going to search for a proper home for the dog. Fine. Now we're back on the tennis court because Leo is trying to whip this stupid little kid into shape and he tells him you have to look cool.
Right.
There's a big game, big doubles match. It's Leo and his partner Pete against Huey and whatever the other creepy kid is named. Pete goes down. Leo's partner sprains his wrist.
Yep.
Are they going to have to forfeit the game? No, wait a minute. Leo sees the chocolate boy in the crowd.
And he's looking good.
Eddie's all cleaned up.
He put a comb through his hair. His socks are straightened up.
There's no chocolate on him, as far as we can tell. It's a last-minute substitution. We're going to bring in this little kid. The other guys are laughing. Come on, this little kid. You can't win with this kid. It's match point. Of course, little Eddie wins the game. There you go. I was reminded of Meatballs.
Ah.
One of my all-time favorite movies, which I got to enjoy this year on the big screen. Remember, I went to the Luna Theater. They showed me. I'd never seen Meatballs in a real theater before. But Meatballs, the big competition at the end against the rival camp, and their long-distance runner was injured. And so little Rudy the rabbit, suddenly has to step up and run the long-distance race against like the big actual older runner guy from the other camp. And, of course, Rudy the rabbit is the winner.
Yeah.
Because he's coached by Bill Murray, so how can he lose? But similar plot, and from that same era, right? Meatballs was 1979.
I kind of have to admit this character's involvement reminded me of something, too.
Yeah?
Is this unfair? I can't help but think that Eddie reminds me a little bit of Scrappy-Doo.
In that he ruined the series?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a reason why there's only one episode after episode 9, and it's because they bring in this kid, Eddie, after Tom leaves.
Yeah. He's a Cousin Oliver-esque addition to the show.
Yes.
A Scrappy-Doo type.
I think Eddie is their Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah.
Honestly. Is that mean?
It's very mean. It's heartless. It's ruthless.
But it's true.
But it's true. Dead on. Correct. Nobody likes Eddie. So they win their stupid match, and then there's an even littler kid now that's looking up to Eddie.
Yeah.
Like, will you teach me some tennis? So this is getting ridiculous. Now, how tiny the succession of kids is going to get, right?
7 episodes from now, if 7 more episodes existed, there'd be an infant wandering on to...
Tinier and tinier kids keep showing up.
To the tennis court.
They should stick to pickleball. You know, these kids are so tiny. Get them on a pickleball court. It's smaller. And, of course, then the girls suddenly run in at the end and say, hey, guess what? They found a home for Scruffy. Great.
They're more excited than any kids have ever seen because, okay, if this was for real, the dog that you've been taking care of is going
great news.
Away.
We get to give up our dog.
Yeah.
They are a little too excited about getting rid of Scruffy. Good point. That's the end of the show. Of course, I watched the credits. Only 6 kids in the credits for this episode because there's no Tom and there's no Leslie. It's weird when that screen comes up with 6 names on it. But Leslie's going to be back for the final episode,
okay.
Of course. No Tom, of
no
course.
Tom.
But the special thanks at the end of the episode go to the families of the Adams Corners Co-op. I'm not sure what that's about. Is that where they took the dog, like the vet?
Maybe.
And Peter Gibbs of the Mill Run Tennis and Day Camp.
Well, that's cool.
I think the regular camp doesn't actually have a tennis court on it, so they shot the tennis scenes at this other tennis camp. So I looked up the Mill Run Tennis and Day Camp.
Of course you did.
Because I'm thinking maybe I want to go there. You know, I'm going to cover myself in chocolate and try to get someone to teach me how to play tennis. The Mill Run Tennis and Day Camp was in Shrub Oak, New York, about 7 miles from Peekskill, so in the neighborhood, because the main camp they shot at was in Peekskill, New York. I don't think it's there anymore. One of the only references to it I could find online was a listing of camps from the New York Times from 1978.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't think you can learn tennis anymore at the Mill Run Tennis Day Camp. It's gone, and we just have to let it go.
Okay. I'm over it.
Yeah. Nice job. You've moved on.
Thank you.
Just some follow-up on the camp. The main camp that they shot High Feather at was Camp Madison Felicia in Peekskill, New York. That camp also is not there anymore. Well, it's a different camp now, actually. It doesn't exist under that name anymore, but it is now a YMCA camp. So kids are still going to camp at the same location, evidently.
Nifty.
How about that? The other weird thing I looked up, apparently one of the campers who went to Camp Madison Felicia in Peekskill, New York, way back in the day, was a young Whoopi Goldberg.
Wow.
I found a post on Twitter. A few years back, Whoopi Goldberg was asking about the camp on Twitter because she remembered going to this camp.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That's neat.
She was the biggest star to go there until all these kids from High Feather showed up. The true stars of the camp. So, Cornflake, that is your penultimate High Feather episode 9. There's only one to go next week.
How did they bring it all together?
It's all going to come crashing together in ways you can hardly imagine right now. I've seen this already, mind you. I know what's coming. You don't. You haven't seen episode 10 yet.
I've not.
But
I know that once I watch episode 10, it's all over, Kevin.
It's all over. It's a little sad.
I'm not prepared for that.
But now, like me, every summer, you can rewatch the whole series.
It's true. That is a choice I could make.
I can already tell that you're totally not going to do that. And I understand. All right, Cornflake, we've got to wrap up this show so that we can prepare mentally and emotionally for next week's finale of this horrifying High Feather Watch. How can people find us on the internet meanwhile?
I'm going to need as much time for that as possible, Kevin. So yes, let's get out of here. But before we go, we want to let you know that on the internet, you can find us at flopcast.net. How about on Twitter? Our handle is at Flopcast. We're on Facebook too. Facebook.com/Flopcast. And are we on Instagram? Guilty as charged. The_Flopcast. You will find us there.
All right, Cornflake, get your badge ribbons ready because we have a big convention coming up very soon, just in time for Badge Ribbon Day. Get ready for that. We'll see you here next week.
Yes, we will. Peace and cookies.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
There's an awful lot of food here, Eddie. This looks like your whole dinner. Didn't you eat anything?
I had a jelly sandwich. Can I see the dog now?
Definitely. And take a tip from your old buddy Cornflake. You do want to be informed.
I'm going to say that again because it sounded like Pornflake.
Oh, dear.
I think you're getting a little stuffed up.
All right.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.